We're going to continue on in our series. Laurel, go ahead and throw it up there. The I love my church. I hope you've been enjoying this. I have been. As I've been going through it, it's just been a blessing for me to learn more and more about why I love the church. And each week, I think about the whole series, but I don't actually zero in on each message prior to the week of speaking it. So some of these things that you hear are new revelations that just come to me while I'm searching it out. And so I pray that you're enjoying it as well. And I read the story of Martha and Mary at the beginning, and I've always been intrigued by this because, you know, we hear a lot about Mary, and there's not a lot about Martha. Usually when Martha is talked about by Jesus, she's being talked to in a nice way from Jesus. And there's little things that we always say that it's better to be a Mary than it is to be a Martha. But then, and I wish that I had found this. This came to me while I was sitting over there, and I wish I would have just put the base down and used my iPad to search out the scripture. But there's one verse. I'm trying to remember where it was. Martha. Yeah. But it actually says that Jesus went to... I need to find it. He went to Martha's place. It's in the Bible. John 11? That might be it. Yes, that's the one. Thank you so much. See, I missed you last week because I needed to have someone to find the... Yeah, so don't leave again. What was it? John 11 what? Five. There it is, 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. Everywhere else, it says Mary and Martha. And I think what John was trying to get across was that quit looking at Martha as being the condemned one. Look at her as being the loved one. That Jesus loved Martha and her sister. It's just an amazing scripture. Because we look at it that serving is wrong. Because what Martha was doing. Martha was doing. But it doesn't say that, you know, the serving was wrong. It says that she was distracted by the serving. And I think that is the problem with the majority of what happens in church, is that we get so busy doing that we forget that serving is sitting at Jesus' feet. But Martha could have been listening at the same time as doing. And as she was doing, if she was listening, she wouldn't have been distracted by the doing. But it was the distraction of serving that got in the way. So today we are going to be looking more into our vision statement. Our vision statement in general is families together. And then on the bottom of your bulletin, the calendar part, it does say families, worshiping, serving, and giving together. And today we're in that second part of serving. My question for you today is kind of hard to answer. What does it mean to serve the Lord? Because in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord which I am commanding you today for your good." That's what the Israelites knew. That's what the people of Israel knew. That's what the law stated. And it says that you need to serve the Lord your God with all your heart. And we continually say that we serve Jesus or we serve God. But then, listen to what Jesus says. In Matthew 20, verse 28, he says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So if Jesus came to serve and not to be served, what are we doing trying to serve him? Because he doesn't want to be served. He wants to serve. What he's saying to you is like when, in that prayer that I prayed earlier. He wants you to recognize yourself as an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Jesus being the firstborn of all the brethren and sistren. I know it's a bad word, but I didn't know how else to say it. We are brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. We are not his servants. We are his friends. He said, no longer do I call you servants. So what I would say on that part is that prior to, he did. They were his servants. They were his disciples. But now, I don't call you servants any longer. I call you my friends. Why? Because he laid down his life for a friend. Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And so now, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. Do you see that? So he doesn't want you being a servant. And too often, we live our lives as a servant. He wants us to be, notice that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Serving God is not doing the Ten Commandments. Serving God is not going to church. Serving God is not preaching or teaching or doing other things for the church. In reality, those things are serving the church. And last time I checked, the church is not God. Those things are all good. They need to be done. But Paul even tells us that serving God is different as a Christian. In Romans chapter 7, verse 6, it says, "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." So yes, God wrote down in Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, that we need to serve him with all our heart and all our soul and all our lives. But then Jesus says, Paul says that we do this, we serve God in a different way, not because of the written code, but because of the Spirit living within us. We follow that Spirit. We do not follow after the law, we follow after the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week in our message on worshiping together. Now, Paul gives us a list of things that we should be doing in our lives in Romans chapter 12. So Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 17, it says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the light of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." Now, some would say that this is a list of how to serve God. All good things to be doing. But these things are not serving God. These things are serving ourselves and those around us by doing godly things. You look at that list. Let love be genuine, others. Abhor what is evil for myself. Hold fast to what is good for myself. Love one another with brotherly affection. You know, that's for others. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's others. Do not be slothful in zeal. Me, be servant in spirit. Me, serve the Lord. Wait a second. If this is a list of serving the Lord, why is serve the Lord in it? Do you notice that? That just for some reason, I looked at this. I was like, wait a second. I've always looked at this as a list of how to serve the Lord. But then it actually says serve the Lord in it. So I'm thinking that this list is good. It's good stuff to do. But serving the Lord is part of that. So then the question is, what does it mean to serve God? Do you see why I said at the beginning that this question I'm going to ask you is a hard one to answer? Because the stuff that we do, we're always saying that that's because we're serving God. But are we? Do we get distracted in doing the list and not actually serving God? Because I think that's what happens in most parts. You know who's the hardest in this regards? Preachers. Actually, just change that to pastors. Because all day long, what do? Godly stuff. Serving God. But really, is that serving God? Because I can tell you that it is so easy to get distracted in doing the stuff that I'm not truly serving God. I'm serving the church. This is my job. Just like Michael, you work at the hospital. Tim, you're a construction worker. The rest of you, you do your things. And though you're serving your job, guess what preachers do? We do the same thing. This is my job. So where is the serving God aspect to that? And that's the question that has been just resounding within me through this past week especially. Jesus says that whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Then he says, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Serving God is completely different than what we've always thought. I love the fact that everyone's here at church. I love the fact that we have teachers downstairs teaching the children right now, and earlier it's during Sunday school. Love the fact there's people who clean the church. There's a sound guy. There's a computer person. There's ushers. There's board members. There's other people who fold the bulletins. And I'm so thankful for that because I hate folding bulletins. I will do it, but it's just not my favorite part of the job. So thank you. There's when we have fellowships, and we love fellowships, don't we? But there's lots of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And those people are serving. But really, they're serving the church. They're serving the people. They're being Martha. Not necessarily the distraction part, because we'll get to that. But they're serving the people. When Martha was doing that, she was not doing anything out of the ordinary. Because when someone comes into the home in the Jewish culture, the host is the servant and goes around and prepares everything. So she wasn't doing wrong. She just got distracted in it. Serving God has many different meanings. And the first one is that we serve others. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." I loved how Pastor Brent put that 2 weeks ago when he said, how many people are we supposed to love? And most people say, love God and love your neighbor. But there's the third one. That you're supposed to love yourself. You love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't say you love your neighbor better than yourself. It doesn't say you love your neighbor less than yourself. It says as yourself. So if you want to know how to love your neighbor, look at how you love yourself. And if you're really bad at doing that, then change. Because more than likely, you treat your neighbors like you do yourself. When it comes down to it, your attitude there will come out in how you treat them. So if you treat yourself well, you will treat your neighbors better than what you would have before. Just side notes. Sorry, adding to your sermon, but, you know. But that's not the entire thing of serving others, because we do that. We do that well. You know, you go to any church, really, and for the most part, they serve others well, whether they have ministries like the Little House where they're serving the community or they're helping out the needy. Or you have our fellowships where we're serving each other. Or when someone's in need in prayer, then we pray for them. You know, all these different things that we do that are great, because that's one thing that we need to do, that is serving God because we are serving others. But more importantly, in fact, most importantly, serving God is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seeking God is the first important and most important thing in regards to serving him. It's coming to church, but not coming to church to serve. It's coming to church to receive when we come to the services. It's coming here. The church is a facility. And what this facility does is facilitates us in worshiping God and receiving from him. That's why I always say it doesn't matter where we worship. Because the building that we are in, no matter where it is at, the purpose of it is to be a facility, to facilitate worshiping God and receiving from him. That's personally why I don't have a problem with moving the chairs and having other activities in the sanctuary, because it's a facility. The house of God, the temple of God is where? It's in. Just a little side note. In all of it, serving God is really listening to what God is saying and then doing it. Seeking after him. It's following the leading of the Holy Spirit in all situations. In all reality, can I be a bit blunt in a loving manner? If you didn't come here under the leading of the Holy Spirit, then really you're not supposed to be here. Jim has a great saying. Is it better to be in church thinking about fishing or being out fishing thinking about God? Problem. One little problem with that. We've talked about it. The big problem is that some people use that as an excuse not to come to church. But it is real. If you're sitting there thinking about everything else in life, then guess what? I could call you Martha. Because you've been distracted by the serving aspect. But if you are here and you are ready to receive from God, whether it be in the worship, whether it be in the word, whether it be in the fellowship, whether it be in any other aspect that is included in our serving, and you are receiving from God, then you are a Mary. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Serving God is not doing. Serving God is worshiping. Serving God is giving attention to God. So when you come to church, come here with that attitude of, God, I'm here to worship you. I'm not here because I've done this all my life. Because I can tell you, you're born on the altar, raised in the pew. Now I'm a preacher and I'm speaking at you. This was a... That's a song that my friend and I wrote on tour one time. We sang it to our Bible college president and you want me to sing it? Okay. Now, remember, I come from the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Acronym PAOC. I'm so glad I'm a part of the PAOC. I've been drilled with the doctrine since I was three. Born on the altar, raised in the pew. Now I'm a preacher and I'm speaking at you. If you follow our doctrine and do what we say, we'll give you credentials. And you're on your way to owning a church and a flock of your own and preaching the gospel from a remote microphone. We got bored on tour. So where was I? It's important to have our focus. No matter what we are doing, that we keep our attention on Jesus. We keep our attention on God and what He's wanting to say to us. That we still do, because that's important. You know, if Martha wouldn't have been serving, then the people that were there at the house would not have been fed. The problem is she got distracted in her serving and she got jealous that somebody else was not doing. And so Jesus said, you know what, she chose right. Like, yeah, she's not doing right now, but she's listening to what's being said. So it's not about just going and sitting and, okay, I don't have to do anything because I want to be Mary. You know, you can be distracted in being Mary just as you can be distracted in being Martha. Can all the worship leaders say amen? You know, I've really strongly encouraged the worship leaders, and I've done it in our meetings before, that when the worship leaders are up here, this should not be their only time that they spent in worship during the week. Because up here, they're serving the church. When they're at home worshiping, they're serving God. When I'm up here preaching to you from the Word of God, it better not be the first time that I've opened my Bible in a week. Because I'm right now, I'm not serving God. I'm serving you. Now, in the midst of, this is where it gets confusing. In the midst of it, I'm serving God. But in doing all these things, that's not the serving. That's not the serving. What we are doing when we have teachers downstairs, when we have a service up here, when we have worship leaders singing, we are giving opportunity for you to serve God in your worship. So we need to be prepared while we are in our during our week of preparation of getting that word within us and serving God in ourselves, so that when we come here, we're ready to enter, let you have the opportunity to serve God in worshiping, to serve God in receiving from the word. Last week, we talked about worship being following the leading of the Holy Spirit in all situations. And this week, I'm telling you that serving God by following the leading of the Holy Spirit in all situations. Worshiping God and serving God, basically the same thing. And I do think, you know, as we're going into this, I think we're going to find out that all aspects within our vision statement of families together are really the same. That we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in all situations. And really, even though we have had many sermon series and themes throughout the past few years, I don't know if you've noticed that the real theme throughout the entire thing has been seek God. Get into the Word. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen to that inner voice that's telling you to do this or do that. When you really come down to it, if you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit 100% of the time, God will never lead you wrong. There's a problem. I would venture a guess that none of us follow the leading of the Holy Spirit 100% of the time. And we have been led astray from what God really wanted to do in our lives. I could go into so many sermons right now in regards to Joseph and Job, all the ones that everyone uses examples for when it comes to what happens in life. My one question, did they truly follow God's leading 100% of the time? But that's another sermon. God will never lead you astray. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I'm trying to do this for Awana. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Question for you. Who took you to the valley of the shadow of death? Most people think it's the shepherd. But notice, the shepherd leads us where? He leads us to the quiet meadow. He leads us to the still waters. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. But, that's the word yay. Yay is but. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, who walked? Who led? I. He is still with me. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mostly right. Does it count? Good. All right, red team. Yay. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. I don't even know what team it is. Do you see? If we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, where do we go? Paths of righteousness? The quiet meadows? The streams of water? He wants to lead us in the right places, but quite often we'll take the lead and we go into that valley. Might not be leading to death, but it's a valley. This is where I get I get it from the Word. That's what the Word tells me. And so if I try to base my life on what the Word tells me and how Proverbs chapter 4 says it, if I put the words before me and that my eyes never stray from the Word, that my ears always be attentive to the Word, God's wisdom will show me the way. And it even says in Proverbs 4 that my path will be made for me as long as my eyes don't stray from the right to the right or to the left and I don't walk off of that path, my way will be straight. The promises of God, we really need to grab hold of them and find out what God is wanting for our lives. And that is leading, being led by the Holy Spirit. And when we are led by the Holy Spirit, 100% of the time, we aren't led astray. We're always on the right path. And that, in my opinion, is serving God. is being on that path and knowing what he's wanting us to do from time to time. A preacher has to do the same thing every time we speak. Because I don't want to say words from up here that are wrong. I want to follow his leading. And yes, I have notes here, but most of the stuff that I do is following his spirit. But even the notes that I write down, I have to make sure that that's following the leading of the Holy Spirit too. The worship leaders, when they come up here, they need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in regards to the songs they sing. And maybe the Holy Spirit will say, pause right there and talk about me. But maybe he won't. Here's the difficult thing about the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Kenneth, I was going to ask you permission earlier. Could I have permission to use a story that you had before? Yeah, thank you. Last week, I believe it was, you talked about the vision that you had in the morning and in regards to the moving of the Holy Spirit and where the church is going into a revival time. And the word basically said at one point, it's not going to happen yet. And there was a white flag. Now, this is the hard part about visioning, is that if we would have stopped right there, it would have been okay, let's stop. It's the Holy, we're just supposed to seek God at this point, and this move of God, this great move of God is not going to happen right away, but if we keep seeking God, it'll happen eventually. But then he said, no, that's not right. The move of God is now. So let me ask you a question. Where did the first vision come from? If it was telling us to hold off, to put the brakes on. Now, I might have been getting this wrong, that it was an entire vision, but the way I understood it is that you had the vision and then it was in you that you said, nope, that's not right, because God said that the move is coming. So do you understand that the spirit realm has both a good side and an evil side? And when you're open to the visions, you also have to be open to the spirit to tell which vision is the right one to be saying. That's the hard part, because you will have a thought in your head that says, turn to the right, when you were supposed to turn to the left. You need to be able to discern that. And once you get to know the voice of that Holy Spirit, you will know when he is saying, turn to the left, or turn to the right, or stay straight. But it's getting to know that voice. And that voice, I know everyone likes to say it's the still small voice. And it is. Or let me say it could be. But it also says in Isaiah that he speaks through the thunder and the hurricanes and the earthquakes. So if it's the still small voice all the time, you would have missed it. So when it's the still small voice, you have to hear it. When it's the hurricane, you have to hear it. The important thing is know the voice of God so you know that the earthquake is him, or you know that the still small voice is him. At all aspects of it, we need to know the voice of God. How do you know the voice of God? Get into the Word. Never let it depart from your eyes. Always be thinking on it. You know, yesterday it was my parents, they haven't really, my parents and my sister, I was with them yesterday and they said, we need to pray. And I looked at my mom and I said, I'm always praying. And well, they haven't heard the sermon that I preached back in, I think it was in December, about prayer. And how that my prayers are always right there before the throne. And it's always, my spirit is continually in communication with God. And sometimes I engage my physical body into it. They didn't understand that. But at that time, I had already been praying for probably, at that time, I think it was 3 hours that I'd been awake. My spirit was praying because my dad needs help. He needs God's help. But praying always. Always having the words before you. When a situation comes, what comes first to your mind? A movie quote or the Word of God? If it's the movie quote, I can tell you what you spend more of your time in than other. You can have that sometimes, because that it does bring comedy into life. But have the Word of God before you, so that this is what comes out when those situations arise. And it's in serving God together as a church that we can truly say, I love my church. And I pray that we will still do all the things that we need to do, because otherwise we're going to have boring services because we'll be just sitting there because nobody's serving. So we come together to serve God, and we worship Him in that aspect. I hope this has made clear sense to you. I know I'm enjoying it, and I'd love to go on, but we're at that time. So Father, thank you for serving us. Because you've said you have come to serve, not to be served. So Lord, I ask right now that you will serve our hearts. Everyone here has a need, Lord. They might have a need of clarification on something that was said. They might not have a need physically, financially, spiritually, or socially, or whatever, Lord. You know everyone's life. So now, God, I pray that you will just enter into their lives and serve them. You'll give them the needs that they have. Provide and show yourself, Lord. Pray that each one here would find time to just take one verse and meditate on it all day. And the next day, maybe another verse or the same one. So that it dwells and roots in their heart. And God, I pray against the devourer right now. The enemy who wants to take that root and pull it out. So Lord, you said that the seed is the Word of God, and when it falls onto ground, it sometimes just sits there, doesn't get root, and the devourer comes and plucks it away. So God, I pray that those words of life will take root and will grow and will have a yield that's 30, 60, and 100-fold. God, I pray for your people, that you bless them richly. That in coming to church, they come here with the attitude, I wonder who I can help to worship God. So God, I ask right now that you bless your people. You encourage them in everything. You bring to mind the things that you have done, the things that were paid in full on the cross. That God, from this point on, there's no condemnation of sin because the sin was paid for and it is gone, not in part, but in whole. And the grace of God that is greater than all things will multiply in everyone's lives. I pray those blessings now on these people. In Jesus' name, amen.